I want to talk about citizens' responsibility to support the kingdom. You know, all governments depend upon the citizenship to support the government. We know that, we who are citizens of these United States. We know that we all pay various taxes, and of course it won't be long until income tax time, and we're all familiar with the responsibility that rests upon us as citizens. And as we look back at Israel of old, they had a responsibility to support the kingdom. You remember that Samuel told Israel what it would be like and the responsibilities when they wanted a king. As we would go back to 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, and begin with about the 10th verse, he begins to describe what they would have to do to support the kingdom. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king. And he says, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take of your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and will give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodless young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants." And so he is simply, of course, describing that a government requires certain things of the citizens, and the citizens must support the government. And that is a principle that is understood by all. And we understand that principle. We understand if we're going to live in this country, we're going to have to support this nation. As I said, we support the nation from and the local government. We support it with income tax, with sales tax, with property tax. And when you get through figuring the taxes that everybody pays, it is a great amount of income that is taken from your income. Now, we understand that. Now, the kingdom of Christ puts demands upon its citizens to support it. The Lord did. We're in a kingdom. As Christians, we are citizens in a kingdom. As we would turn to the words of Paul in the Colossian letter, in the first chapter of the Colossian letter and verse 13, he says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." And then if we would go back to the Ephesian letter in the second chapter and the 19th verse, he says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Now, we are citizens in the kingdom. Peter said that we constitute a holy nation in 1 Peter the second chapter in verse 9. He says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we see then that we are a kingdom, that we are a holy nation. Now Christ has given his kingdom, his church, the kingdom and the church are one and the same, the responsibility of carrying the gospel to the lost. That rests upon the kingdom of the holy nation. Notice now in verse 9, as I read in your hearing just a few moments ago, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Notice this phrase, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now we are to show forth the praise of him. We are to give an answer to every man that asketh us for the reason of the hope that's within us. We are to preach the gospel. This holy nation, the church, the local congregation, is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Paul said, as he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That simply means that we are to uphold the truth. We are to uphold it morally, we are to uphold it financially, and we are to defend it in every way. But my emphasis this morning, of course, is upon the financial support. The financial support of the gospel rests upon the citizens of the kingdom. Now, we're all citizens in the kingdom of Christ. This is a spiritual kingdom with a spiritual work, but we are in the world, and to carry this spiritual message to men and women, it takes money. And the Lord has required that every citizen in the kingdom fulfill his duty along these lines. Each citizen is to give as he has prospered, or as she has prospered on the first day of the week, to defray the expenses of the kingdom. This is what the apostle would tell us in 1 Corinthians 16, reading verses 1 and 2. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, who is he addressing? He is addressing citizens in the kingdom. And that's the figure we're using this morning. We're in the kingdom, and we're citizens, you see. It is a holy nation, and it has grave responsibilities. You see, it is a kingdom with a mission. The mission is to reach the lost and to bring others into the kingdom. The mission is to save men and women. But the Lord, just like any other kingdom, has put the responsibility of financing it upon the citizens. Can you be a good citizen of the United States and not pay your taxes? Suppose you skip your income tax this year. What do you think the Internal Revenue will do? I'll tell you what they'll do. First, you'll get some letters. And if you don't respond to the letters, they'll send a fellow like used to, I don't know where Jim Walker's position with him anymore, what he does, but they'd send a fellow like Jim Walker out to find out what was going on, you see. And it wouldn't be long if you didn't pay up. They would attach your automobile or your home, and Uncle Sam would finally get his money. Why? Well, you can't be a citizen and not bear the responsibility of citizenship. Now, you know that. Now, let's come back to the spiritual. We're in the kingdom. There is a responsibility that rests upon each of us to help defray the expenses of the kingdom of preaching the gospel to the lost. Now, he points out here that all of us are to participate, and of course it is to be as we have prospered, it is to be according to our ability. As we would go to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and verse 12, we would hear the apostle say, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Now here he's talking about giving, the very thing we're talking about. So the Lord only expects us to do according to our ability, but he does expect us to do what our ability is. Now you go back to Matthew 25, and you see he gave each man talents according to his several abilities. Now, one, 5 talents, and 1, 2, and 1, 1. But you see, as you read that, every man was to work according to his ability and use his talents according to his ability. And so that's what the Lord tells us in defraying the expenses of the kingdom. Every man, according to his ability, is to give. Now, we learn when we are to give. It is on the first day of the week. It is to be regularly and continuously. Just like the Lord's Supper is eaten regularly upon the first day of the week, it is a continuous thing we do. Each first day of the week, we eat the Lord's Supper. Each first day of the week, we give into the common treasury as we have prospered. Now, the Lord intended for citizens of the kingdom to have jobs in view of giving a part of what they make to help defray and do the work of the kingdom. You remember Paul, as he wrote to the young preacher Titus, told him in the 3rd chapter of the book of Titus, and down about verse 14, he says, "And let ours," here he's talking about Christians, he's talking about citizens of the kingdom, "and let ours learn to maintain good works for necessary uses." Now, if I have any understanding of this verse, when he talks about good works, he's not talking about it as it is usually used in the Bible, but he is using it from the standpoint of honorable labor, honorable occupation, you see. We are to maintain good works for necessary uses. There is a need for money, you see. And so we are to maintain a job for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Now, if I don't work and make money, and if I'm lazy, then I won't have any money for necessary uses, and I'll be unfruitful. Let's look at another verse. Let's go back to the Ephesian letter, to the 4th chapter, and in verse 28, he says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Showing then that whenever we labor and work, that we're going to make more money than we personally need. That's the general rule. You see, the Lord anticipates that. Now, we are to make money for what? For necessary uses. Here he's talking about even on an individual basis as a Christian. Sometimes a fellow Christian is in need, sick, unable to work, has expenses that he cannot meet, and through love I am to help him, you see. But you see, the Bible teaches that we are to make more than we personally need, and a Christian will, as he works and as he labors. But this is the way the citizen is to support the kingdom, through work. You know, it is sinful not to work. The Apostle Paul said, as he wrote to the Thessalonians, as we would go to the second letter, to the church at Thessalonica, in the third chapter, and look down to verse 10. He says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You see, the Lord gets pretty strict about our work and our labor and our involvement. The Lord never intended us to be lazy, you see. That's part of being a Christian, being involved, working. Because there are many things that it is necessary to have money to do, necessary to support our families, necessary to support the government, we've talked about it. It is necessary to support his kingdom. And so he nowhere approves of laziness, but encourages us and tells us to work, and if we won't work, then he says we're not to eat. For we hear that there be some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that they with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So we see then the Bible teaches that citizens in the kingdom, good citizens, work and make money. They make money for necessary uses. And one of the necessary uses is the support of the kingdom. And so we can see then that citizens must give, and they, if they will give into the common treasury to support the kingdom and its work, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 that if we will give as we prospered, we will always have sufficiency to do this work. Notice now, excuse me, verse 8 of the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That is, if we what? If we will give as we have purpose. If we will give not grudgingly or of necessity, but give from a cheerful heart, then God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now, he's not telling us what Jim Baker or some of those fellows would tell us, that you're going to be rich and drive a Cadillac. That's not what he's saying. But if we work, make money, and give according as we have prospered, the Lord will what? He will prosper us, that we will be able to meet our honest obligations and meet our obligations to his kingdom. There'll be plenty of money for necessary uses. Now you keep in mind who we are. We are a holy nation. We are the citizens of the Lord. We're the citizens in the Lord's kingdom. And this kingdom has a mission in the earth. And the only means of obtaining money to do the work of this kingdom in the earth is through its citizens. Do you think God is going to let us fail in this great work that he gave his son to die, that you and I might be citizens? And you think God would be unconcerned with our part of it if we will do our part? So that's what we need to understand. We need to see our obligation. Now, each citizen should give liberally, as you see back in the 6th verse of the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He says, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Showing then that we are to be liberal in our giving. Notice what the Lord said in the book of Luke, in the 6th chapter of the book of Luke, and in verse 38. He says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, withal shall it be measured to you again." We could go back to the Old Testament in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and look at verse 9 of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. He says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance." Now, I realize this is under the law, but we can see, as we've already seen from the new covenant, the Lord demands in the kingdom of Christ that we honor him with our substance, that we support his kingdom with our substance. But he says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Now, really, the principle has not changed when we get to the New Testament. The Lord wanted the first fruits in the Old Testament, and he wants the first and the best today. Go back to Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What is he asking for? He's asking for the first fruits, just as he asked it under the Old Testament. And he tells them, if they will give the first fruits of their increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And then he says, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, this would happen if they what? If they gave, of course, as they were supposed to give under the law. If they gave the tenth, and then they had many other things to give besides the tenth, they had to give these first fruits, and on. Many have figured it up. Anywhere from 33 to 35 to maybe even 50%. Sometimes I've seen figures where the Jew gave. He gave a great portion of his income in the service of God under the law. He gave much more than just the tenth. Now, as we would come back to the book of Malachi, Malachi says in the 3rd chapter, "Will a man rob God?" And that's a good question, you see, for us today. He says, "Yet ye have robbed me." Now he asks the question and turns around the answer. He said, "Yes, Israel, you've robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And he says, "Well, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings." And so he says, "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." And if you'd go back and read the book of Malachi, you would see that they were bringing their lame animals and things of this nature and offering it to the Lord. They were giving the Lord the leftovers. And he said, you're robbing me. He says in verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, he tells Israel, if you'll stop robbing me, and you will bring in the tithes and offerings, you will, if you will give as you're supposed to give, then there shall not be room enough to receive the blessings that I'll pour out on you as a nation. Now, sometimes we need to look at ourselves. Are we giving liberally? Do we wind up selfishly using all of our money on ourselves, very little to the Lord, and then find ourselves struggling to pay our debts? You know, the way to reverse that thing is begin to think about giving the first fruits to the Lord and take care of that responsibility first. And then we'll be able to meet our other obligations. I think you'll see a big turnaround in your life and in your finances if you shoulder your responsibility to His kingdom first. Those were principles He taught in the Old Testament. I believe they're principles, the same principles He teaches in the New Testament. There is a citizen responsibility to give. There was in the Old Testament, there is in the New Testament, but we live under a better covenant. Let me tell you something. He nowhere told Israel to go into all the world and preach the gospel, did He? They were one nation. There in the land of Palestine. And they had to maintain that order. But we are a holy nation under a better covenant, given a worldwide commission to try to preach the gospel as far as we can to men and women. Every congregation is to use its abilities to its limit to try to reach the lost. So I think you can see there is a responsibility as citizens to support the kingdom, and we are to be liberal in our giving. Citizens are to support the work of the kingdom cheerfully. As we would go back to 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 7, He says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The idea in cheerful giving is when we give, it is with intense delight. It is hilarious, that kind of feeling. There is a delight in giving. It's not grudgingly or of necessity, says that in the passage. But it is a delight to know that we can share in the work of the kingdom. Think about it. That we have the great opportunity to help preach the gospel to save men. A delight. Maybe we'd have a greater delight if we knew more, maybe even about the men that we support. Do you ever read the reports that are out posted out there? And to get to know the men, say a few weeks ago, two Mexican preachers came through, and Brother Dave came over, and we visited with them in my living room for a while, and as I talked about the work, and one of the men, of course, we support, and I believe sent some help to one of the other men. But as they talked about their work among their people, the reaching out with the gospel, the saving of men from hell. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about using our means to help save men from hell. You support me, and I appreciate your very generous support from the very bottom of my heart. Sarah and I, we appreciate the support you give us. And you stop to think about, we hope we give something. I hope as a preacher of the gospel, I give you something that's worth something to you and your family, your children. Is it worth something to have your children taught? And of course, all these teachers who are not supported, who give to your family. And we have this commodious place here to meet. You see, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the kingdom, supporting the kingdom, seeing our responsibility in supporting the kingdom. The responsibility has been laid upon us, and we ought to give cheerfully. And thank God that we have an opportunity to be a part of His kingdom and of His great work. And the Lord takes note of what we're doing. Whatever we do, you remember Paul, as he wrote to the Philippians, and he talks about their support to him, and he said, notwithstanding, in the fourth chapter of Philippians and verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And then he says, even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. And then notice in verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now what do we learn from this? Well, all of us that are citizens in the kingdom, whenever we give our part in this great work, it abounds to what? To our account. That's what the book says. That's what it says. The Lord takes note of the work that we're doing, of the giving that we give, and it abounds to our account. We get credit. The Lord recognizes this whenever we're involved in the work. But now, the financing of the kingdom is a mutual obligation. I want to carry you back to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. And look now with me to verses 12 and 13. He says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. For I mean not that others be burdened, that others be eased rather, and ye be burdened, but by an equality. That now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now I recognize what the Lord is dealing with is one congregation giving to another. But he lays a principle here. The Lord wants equality, and he does not want some to be burdened and others have ease. Notice verse 13. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened. Now that principle applies not only in relation to congregations helping one another, that principle applies here as we give. He does not want some men to carry all of the burden and others be eased. You see, there ought to be equality in the giving. Every man give, as he said up there in verse 12, according to what he hath. And that's all the Lord expects. But he does expect us all to give according to what we have. Somebody can't say, well, you know, that fellow makes more and he's got more. Let him carry the load. The Lord never intended in his plan for 20% of the citizens to give 90% of the money. He never, nowhere in his plan. His plan is that each give, and it doesn't matter how poor we are to give. Now let me prove that. Go back with me to the book of Mark. In Mark 12 and 41, beginning. Here is the widow. And the record says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. So here the Lord is observing. He's still observing today, no different. He's not on earth today, but he still observes how we cast into the treasury. He says, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which is a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Did Jesus say this was wrong? No. He never rebuked her. He never said because she's poor and lives from hand to mouth, she ought not to have to give and share in the work. No. Everybody ought to be able to share and have the joy in the work. That's the Lord's plan. And those who just live from hand to mouth, if they will continue to live, and the Lord will bless when we give. He intends for the support of the kingdom to be shared. It is to be mutual. It is a mutual obligation. I want you to look at another verse with me. Look at Acts 2 and verse 42. He says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now notice this word, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. In fellowship. Fellowship here is the joint sharing of their means. Now that's what we did here just a few minutes ago. We jointly shared our means. We were to jointly share our means according to our ability, that we all might share in what? In this great work. Now, did you give according to your ability? You know, we can be lost. This is the sad thing of it. This has always disturbed me as a preacher. We can be lost because we do not carry our end of the load financially as citizens in the kingdom. We might live moral, upright lives. We may do many things, and we may attend all of the services. But we cannot fail in this duty. This is a duty, this is an obligation, this is a responsibility. Now, this past year, we did not meet our budget. We could have met our budget. I can't remember exactly, but I believe it was $1,800. Am I right, or can you remember right off? $1,747. But we didn't meet it. Look at our homes. Look at our cars. Look at the way we live and what we eat. We could have met our budget. And I would not be your friend if I didn't tell us that. We can do better at Hebron Lane financially. We just need to look at our responsibility as citizens in the kingdom, and everybody simply bear his part of the load. Share this load. Citizens in the kingdom show proof, of course, of their love by their giving. Paul said, as he wrote to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and look at the 8th verse. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, he's telling them that whenever they gave, it was a proof of their love. And that's what we need to recognize. That we are proving to the Lord how much we love him. You remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus and Jesus loved him. Go back, I believe, in the 10th chapter of Mark. Jesus loved him. The Bible tells us that. So we read the gospel records. But the young man thought he wanted eternal life. And Jesus said, well, I keep the commandments. Well, he said, I've done that. But Jesus said there was one thing that he lacked. He said, sell all you have and give them to the poor. He tested him. What's the record say? He went away sorrowful. The Lord tests us. This is part of being a Christian. Giving is part of being a Christian. Learning to give is part of being a Christian. Young people need to learn to start learning to give while they're young. Learn to give out of your earnings and what you make while you're young. Don't just say, well, Mom and Daddy, they're giving, and you know, I've got mine, I'll blow it. I'm afraid that's what's wrong in the kingdom. Many times a lot of folks, they have blown their money when they're young, and they blow it when they get married in their 20s, and they keep blowing it, and you know, we'll put off, and the kingdom business can come somewhere else down the line. You can't do it. There's a tremendous responsibility resting upon us today. It's always rested upon the people of God. But we have the truth. We know the truth. Our responsibility is to preach the truth, be involved personally, and be involved as members of the local church, giving of our means as we have prospered, that the kingdom might be spread in the earth. Citizens are to give an account for their stewardship. last of all, and we'll close the lesson with this hurriedly, but go back to the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians. And the apostle says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, we're stewards. What we have here, the Lord has simply entrusted it to us. The earth and the fullness of it belongs to the Lord. Nothing is really ours. We brought nothing into the world, Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, and we'll carry nothing out. We're simply stewards. We are to be good stewards. Go back to Matthew 25, when the Lord distributed the talents according to every man's several ability. Then if you look at about verse 19, he called them into account. They had to give an account as you read the record. Every man.